Well, hey, Ben, what's up?
Not too much. I was wondering if you had a few minutes to talk about some stuff.
Oh, sure. I'd be glad to. Can you give me just a sec?
Yeah.
Can you give me a moment? That would be great. Thanks. Yeah, just a sec. Can you lift your feet up, Ben? That's good. That's good, okay. That's good. All right, let me see. That's good. Pastor Dave, you are so good-looking. You are so good-looking. All right, Ben, what's up? You just can't get good help anymore. You know? This is what happened with Mary and Martha and Jesus, but Jesus didn't leave. We have a situation here where, if we remember last week, Jesus was in Jericho. And what was the, we talked about a story last Sunday. Does anybody remember the story? The Good Samaritan. So Jesus meets with the Good Samaritan, tells about the story of the Good Samaritan in Jericho. He's heading toward Jerusalem. And about 2 miles away from Jerusalem is a little village called Bethany. And in Bethany, he has three of his best friends. Two sisters, Mary and Martha. And they have a brother. What is the brother's name?
Lazarus.
That's right. So there's Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. So in this story, the way we believe it, we believe that Martha is the older sister and she owns the house. So here is Martha. She owns this house and her sister Mary is there. And if you know Myers-Briggs, Martha is an ESTJ. Extrovert, going to get the job done, black and white, no gray at all. Everything is black and white. I'm going to get this job done, period. Mary is an INFP. Introverted, feeling, going to take her time. She's going to enjoy that light up there and just look at it the whole day and just say, what a wonderful light bulb that is there. And she's going to be very content. Can you imagine these two sisters living together and what they went through in their life? Jesus decides to pay a visit. Somebody has invited him to lunch or dinner. We don't know if it was Mary. We don't know if it was Martha. Personally, I think it was Lazarus, and he created the whole problem. So Jesus comes in, and they welcome him. And here is Martha. She may have said hello, and then what does she do? But she starts vacuuming. She starts cleaning. She starts looking after herself. She's doing the cooking, the pots and pans, the washing and everything. And what is Mary doing? But here is Jesus sitting here, and she's just sitting right here and just listening to every word that he has to say. And she is just absorbing it. She is just taking in what Jesus is having to say. And Martha doesn't like it one bit, to the point that she scolds Jesus and she says, Jesus, don't you see what I'm doing? Tell Mary to get off and help me too. And what does Jesus say to Martha? But he says, Martha, Martha, Martha. You let distractions get in your way of your relationship with me. You're doing all these kinds of things. But I'm here. And here is your sister Mary, listening to what I have to say. Many of us here, I am quite sure, are the Martha type. And we kind of have feelings for Martha. We feel that she's being denigrated for what she's trying to do. She's the one who's trying to make this wonderful lunch or dinner happen. What Jesus is saying to us is that it's not that Martha is being busy to get things done, but this was not the right time to do those things. This was the time to sit down with Jesus and, like Mary, listen to what Jesus had to say. And instead, she's so busy doing things, she has lost this wonderful opportunity to be with Jesus. Think about distractions in our lives. We all have distractions. Think about how those distractions keep us from listening to others, from listening to what our spouses have to say, that keep us from listening to our neighbors, our friends, our pastors, our disciples, whatever it may be. We are so overwhelmed with stuff and distractions at living where we are, we get caught up and we forget or we fail to listen, especially to listen to what God and Jesus and the Spirit have us to say. Jesus is telling us, we come to church with distractions. And he's saying, leave those distractions at the door. Leave your lunch plans at the door. Leave your shopping list at the door. Leave all those things about what's going to happen tomorrow in your life. Leave them at the door. And come Jesus and the Holy Spirit and Pastor Dave and our prayers and our music and our scripture, all that gathered together in this liturgical worship today, it's all about listening. Listen. That is the opportunity that we have on Sunday morning when we gather to worship God. The other aspect to think about is this. When we have guests that come to our church, a lot of times we're doing this kind of stuff, aren't we? We're busy with ourselves, we're busy with our friends, and they may be in this chair all alone, thinking, wow, do I count? Am I a part of these Christian disciples that are here today? To listen. To show hospitality. It's interesting that with the story of Mary and Martha, we hear about them again in John, the 11th chapter of John. It's an entire chapter. Does anybody know what that story is? The raising of Lazarus. Lazarus dies and Jesus comes and raises them. And it's interesting what happens in this story because, again, it's about listening. Jesus hears word later that Lazarus has died. Jesus comes on scene, and Martha, in her busyness, you would expect her to die. She says, Jesus, if you had known Lazarus was going to die, you could have saved him. He would be alive today if you had been here. Jesus expects that from Martha. He expects that kind of word from Martha. But then what happens is Mary comes up. Mary is the one who listens so keenly and distinctly to what Jesus says. She says the same thing. She says, Jesus, if you had been here, Lazarus wouldn't be dead. Why weren't you here? And that's when we hear those two, the shortest verse in the Bible. What is it? Jesus wept. Jesus wept because he was so disappointed. He was so hurt that here was Mary, who he had spent so much time with, and she didn't get it. She didn't get it. She didn't listen. And that happens so many times with us. We listen and we listen, but then we don't get it. Our church is part of, it's called Shift Plus. It's a district event that 15 churches in Alexandria and Arlington are a part of. And we had our shift day yesterday. Alan Chin, Nancy Royster, and I, we go to these shift things every other month from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on a Saturday. And we had ours yesterday, and it was about hospitality. How we welcome the stranger. How we don't let people feel like they're alone in that chair or just ignored. I want to share with you two things that came across my desk this week. The first is from Steve Gordon. Steve Gordon, you know, he's not here today. He's in the choir. His brother is a preacher. His father recently died. He was a preacher. And he sent me something about welcoming from a church. It's Avondale United Methodist Church in Jacksonville, Florida. And so let me share with you about their unconditional welcome. It goes like this. We extend a special welcome to those who are single, married, divorced, gay, or just not sure, filthy rich, dirt poor, no habla es inglés, and a special welcome to those who are crying newborns, skinny as a rail, or could afford to lose a few pounds. We don't care if you're more churchy than the Pope, or haven't been in church since little Joey's baptism. We welcome you if you're over 60 but not grown up yet, or a teenager who is growing up too fast. We welcome soccer moms, NASCAR dads, starving artists, tree huggers, latte sippers, vegetarians, junk food eaters. We welcome those who are in recovery or still addicted. We welcome you if you're having problems or you're down in the dumps or if you don't like the organized religion. We've been there too. If you blew all your offering money at the dog track, you're welcome here. We offer special welcome to those who think the earth is flat, work too hard, don't work, can't spell, or because grandma is in town and wanted to go to church today. That happens, friends. We welcome those who are inked, pierced, or both. We welcome those who could use a prayer right now, had religion shoved down your throat as a kid, or got lost in traffic and wound up here by mistake. We welcome tourists, seekers, and doubters, bleeding hearts, and you. We welcome you because if you're good enough for God, and you are, then you're good enough for us. That's hospitality. And then I want to share with you to close with a story about listening. This is a story. We're studying a book by Diana Butler Bass, and she is a Christian writer, a theologian. She lives in Alexandria, Virginia. And she has a good example of here about how she listened, about how when someone is in need, we should reach out. And then to just listen, to let the person speak. And then how she used her words of action to help this person. So the story goes like this. It's a couple of pages long. The plane has not landed yet, announced the gate agent at the Albany airport. We expect it in about 40 minutes. People awaiting the late afternoon flight from Albany to D.C. groaned. June thunderstorms can make traffic so difficult. Most of my fellow travelers left to get coffee or a quick lunch. I stayed in my seat in the gate area. Only one other person remained, a middle-aged man sitting at the far edge. I had not noticed him before. He looked distraught, perhaps ill. Maybe he needed help. I crossed over to him and asked, "May I get you something, a drink perhaps?" He let out a primal sounding sob. I sat down. "I'm so sorry. Are you okay? Is there anything I can do?" "I buried my wife this morning," he managed to say, "and now I'm going home to nothing." His entire countenance was that of sorrow. Mourning had bowed him, and he slumped in the chair as if falling toward the floor. I glanced about. He was alone. Perhaps I should have left him to his grief. Instead, I asked, "What is her name? Tell me about her." For the next half hour, he told me about his wife, her illness, and her untimely death. They had no children. She had been his friend since high school. Their parents had all passed away. He had taken her to be buried where they had grown up in New York, a place they both loved. Most of their childhood friends had moved away. There had been no funeral, just him and a priest at a graveside to say a few prayers and goodbye. Now he was going home, back to work. Other than a few friends, he was alone. As he shared, he unconsciously had taken my hand and was gripping it tightly. When he paused, I said how wonderful it was to love so deeply. I squeezed his hand. "I'll get you some water. Be right back." He nodded, a slight gesture of gratefulness. On my way back with the water and before reaching him, I found the flight attendant who was waiting for our plane. I told her about the man and his wife and how he buried her that day. She looked concerned and thanked me, saying, "We'll take care of him." I sat back down and gave him the water. The gate agent announced that our plane had landed. There were only about 15 people on the flight that day, and I do not know exactly how it happened, but everyone found out about their fellow passenger in mourning. Perhaps the flight attendant told the gate agent and another person overheard. By the time we boarded, people were going out of their way to be kind to the sorrowful man. A crew member escorted him aboard, tending to his needs, and other passengers treated him with great courtesy. They seated him in the back of the plane to be alone with his thoughts and whatever tears might come. When we landed, some silent agreement formed between us to let him exit first. Instead of the usual rush and urgent calls on cell phones, everyone stood quietly, forming two lines of respect as he walked down the aisle toward the cabin door. Some nodded gravely as he passed. One woman reached out and touched his shoulder. When he reached the front of the plane, he turned back and looked at us, an acknowledgement of the sympathy offered by our impromptu party of mourners. The pilot came out of the cockpit and took the man's hand, and together they descended the steps. The rest of us followed in silence. On the tarmac was a private car dispatched by the airline to deliver him home. Friends, that's listening. That's putting Jesus' words into action. Listening and reaching out and showing compassion and hospitality to someone who felt they were totally alone. Have you ever felt alone? God is here for each and every one of us. We listen. God's listening to us, and we listen to God. And that's good news. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we all say together, Amen.